is a very special day in the Vaishnava calendar, and especially in Braj, it's a very special day. Braj, of course, means the Vrindavan area. And why do we say it's a special day? Because it's the disappearance day of Sanatan Goswami, and in addition, it is what's called Guru Purnima. I don't know if anyone's heard of Guru Purnima before, but in Braj, it's actually the most crowded, especially Govardhan, it's the most crowded day of the year. And I think Jhumpika will remember us being there at that time, right? And I think it was that on that particular day, I was leaving Braj or something, and we couldn't get a car in, and we had to just like go all sorts of like rickshaws and everything like that to the outskirts of Govardhan to be able to leave. You remember that? And I said goodbye that day. Anyway, we have many, many different pastimes like that. So, anyway, so it's so crowded you can't move in Braj. I mean, it's just literally, if you just trip, you're probably going to leave your body. What's that? I'm sure, it may not be like that now. But if you trip, you leave it. So, one other thing about Guru Purnima, Prabhupada commented about it. He said, for the Mayavadis who are impersonalists, it's a day that they worship their guru. But Prabhupada said, for Vaishnavas, they worship the guru on the day of his appearance, not on Guru Purnima. It's not that you have one day of Vyasa Puja for all the gurus. That's, Prabhupada did say, it was like a Mayavadi celebration. But anyway, Sanatan Goswami, whose disappearance day it is today, is the guru of all the devotees in Braj. He's considered like that. So that's why it's also called Guru Purnima. So it's the most important day. Purnima, of course, means full moon. So today's a full moon day. So anyway, so first we'll chant the prayers to the departed Vaishnavas, Saparshita, Gora, Viraha, Vilapa. Forgot to put my other microphone on. I have so much electronics here, I have to figure out how to put everything on and turn everything off at the right time. It's like a nerd's dream. Okay.
Yehani lo prema dana koruna prachur. Heinu prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Daku. Kaha Mora Sarupa Kaha Sanatan. Kadasu Raghunathapatita Bhavan. Kamora mata juga kakaviras rabata yuga ka Mahakavira. Ekakare Kotagela Goranatara. Ashane kutibo mata onale pashibo. Onale pashibo. Goranga gunera nede. Kota gele prabo. Sesa pasangira sange ye koilo bihilas. Gira sange ye koilo vila se sangana pae akande narotamodas na pae akande Narodamoda Jehanilo Premadana Koruna Prachu. Madana Koruna Prachu. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Osutera Satashi Shimad is Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanana Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Ananda Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Kijai Ramsay Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindagajai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopakapata Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Girigo Vradan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturanam Kijai Jagadathasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samveda Bhakta Vrindagajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, read the translation of this poem by Narottama Das Thakur. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy wears such a personality as Srinivasacharya God. Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the Savior of the Fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So as I mentioned, today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who are the first generation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who were assigned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to establish the holy places in Vrindavan and peruse all the Vaishnava literatures and Vedic literatures to come up with eternal religious principles. Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanipano Sad Dharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarano Tri Bhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro. So it's described by Srinivasacharya that Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanipano, that these Goswamis, who are very expert in all the different shastras of scriptures, and actually Sanatana and Rupa and others, they spoke about 8 languages, each one of them. You know, Sanskrit, Urdu, Hindi, Bengali, and other languages that I don't remember right now. They were able to go through all the Vedic literatures and supplementary Vedic literatures and come up with the very essence or the cream of the Vedic literatures. So, anyway, so they are very important for us. And Sanatana Goswami was the eldest of all the Goswamis. And it's described that he appeared in 1488 of the current era. And he was 5 years older than Srila Rupa Goswami. And he was born into a Sarasvata Brahmin family. Now, a Sarasvata Brahmin family is a family that generally comes from South India. Yet, his family had moved to Bengal, which is actually in north part of India. So his father's name was Kumaradev, and he had many sons, but 3 sons are particularly prominent. Sanatan, who used to be named Amar, Rupa, who was called Santosh, and Balaba, who was Anupama, given that name by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they remembered as great devotees. So in their childhood, these 3 personalities were always absorbed in Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and they named different places in their yard as places of the 12 forests in Vrindavan. Talavan, Madhuvan, Kamyavan, and of course they also had Radhakund and Shyamakund, in which they would bathe. These are replicas of the original Radhakund and Shyamakund, and they were highly educated by a person named Vidya Bhushana Vachaspati, and he was the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So everything is very much connected. So when Sanatan was very young, he had a dream in which a very beautiful Brahmin boy came to him, and the Brahmin boy gave him a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he felt completely ecstatic, and he woke up, and there was no Brahmin boy there and no Bhagavatam, and he just was a little depressed at that particular point. So during Sanatana Goswami's puja, that's worship, morning worship, Krishna came himself disguised as a beautiful Brahmin boy, and this happened not in a dream, but actually in external life, and said to Sanatana Goswami, "Take this Srimad Bhagavatam from me. Always study it, and you will attain perfection." In other words, Sanatana Goswami got the Srimad Bhagavatam right from Krishna's own hands. Pretty amazing. So this Srimad Bhagavatam became Sanatana Goswami's life and soul. And he actually glorified it. Here's a translation of his glorification of the Bhagavatam from his Krishna Lila Stava. "O holy Bhagavat, you are my only company, my only true friend, and my guru. You are my greatest treasure, my personal savior. You are the emblem of the highest fortune and the very form of ecstasy. I offer my obeisances unto you." So what happened is as Sanatan and Rupa and Anupama grew up, they gradually assumed posts in the Muslim government there. And this Muslim government, actually, they were responsible for many atrocities. Most of you don't know that in about 80 years of time, while the Muslim government was in charge, the Muslims were in charge of India, 80 million Hindus got killed. It's more than World War II and Hitler stuff and everything like that, just because they were Hindus and they refused to convert. So anyway, so they became involved in the Muslim government because had they not become involved,
the Nawab Hussein Shah, who was in charge of the Muslim government, threatened to kill all the devotees. So under duress, they decided to take employment, even though that was not their desire. And taking employment under that government, they actually had some really bad association. But they continued to serve Krishna, and they continued to be vegetarians, and they continued to plant different trees like the tamal tree, kadamba tree, jutika tree, and, of course, the tulsi tree. And so they really continued studying Shastra, too. So this was under duress that they had to accept employment. So while they were doing their work, actually they became extremely rich. It's described when they did retire, they had boatloads of gold coins. Boatloads of gold coins, like multimillionaires, billionaires basically. So when they were situated in their posts, they were in a city called Ramakeli, and these three brothers began to hear of someone named Nimai Pandit. Now, I don't know who Nimai Pandit is, but that was Lord Chaitanya before he took sannyas. And they really wanted to have his darshan. Then they heard he had gone to Puri. He had taken sannyas and gone to Puri, and they were lamenting like this. They were thinking, we will never have his association. Then they heard a voice from the sky saying, he will soon come to see you in Ramakeli. And so what happened, 5 years passed, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to come to Bengal to have darshan of Sachimata and the Ganga. Sachimata was his mother, of course. And he visited Dwaitacharya, and he proceeded to Ramakeli, going to Braj. He wanted to go to Vrindavan at that particular time. So he arrived in Ramakeli, and Sanatan Goswami, at that time Sanatan and Rupa Goswami were known as Shikhar Malik and Davidar Kash, because those were Muslim names that referred to their particular posts. They approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very humble way. It's described they had a straw in their teeth. And that's actually a tradition when you're really like humble. Not that you do this in America, but they put a straw in their teeth. They bow down to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we are actually more fallen than Jagai and Madai. Now, for those of you who don't know who Jagai and Madai were, they were two drunkards, dacoits, killers, but they had never taken bad association from the Muslims, all right. So that's the difference. I mean, it's hard for me to understand that. But anyway, so somehow or other, and they had killed many people. So of course, Rupa and Sanatan never killed people, neither did their brother. So anyways, they said, we are more fallen than Jagai and Madai. So they offered obeisances at Lord Chaitanya's feet, and this is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 1 of the Majjhalila. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed them at that particular time that ultimately they were to go to Vrindavan and write Vaishnava literatures and also establish the holy places where Krishna had performed his pastimes in Vrindavan. So they made plans to leave their government employment. Now, Rupa Goswami was able to leave along with Unupava very easily. So he retired, and he left in a boat with a material wealth, and the boat had many, many gold coins, and Prabhupada describes that they divided their wealth up in different ways, like one quarter for emergencies and one half for the brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and another quarter. I forget what they did. I forget the actual proportion. But actually, they divided it up. And they kept that money. Rupa Goswami kept the money for emergencies with a grocer, since there was no banks at that time. There was no Bank of America or Bank of India or anything. So, but Sanatan was not able to get out so easily. So he did something as a trick. He feigned that he was sick, and he would stay away from the court
serving the Muslim government, and he would read the Bhagavatam all day long, along with a bunch of brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And when the king, Muslim king, found out that he was declaring himself to be sick, he sent his personal doctor to find out what was happening with Sanatan Goswami. And his personal doctor found Sanatan Goswami to be perfectly healthy. So Sanatan was summoned before the king, and he was asked to explain why your brothers had left the service and why you are simply reading Bhagavatam. And the king at this particular point says, you know, go back to your service. I have things to do. I want to go out and conquer other lands, and you got to take care of things. And then Sanatan basically said, you're going out to conquer other lands to harass the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so then the king got so upset with Sanatan Goswami, he put Sanatan Goswami in jail. In the meantime, his other two brothers, Rupa and Upama, met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag on the way to Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted and said that Sanatan Goswami will be freed very soon, or he's already released from his confinement, and very soon will come to meet with Lord Chaitanya. So eventually, Sanatan Goswami, bribed, as is the ordinary way of dealing things in India, he bribed the jailer. Not only bribed him, but he actually preached to the jailer. He said, my dear sir, basically, you're a great saint. And one gets liberated by freeing someone else from prison or entanglement. So he's just like equating the two, entanglement and prison. And so the jailer, accepting the money, which is probably more important than thinking himself to be a great saint, let Sanatan Goswami go. And Sanatan Goswami gave him an excuse too. He said, you could say that Sanatan Goswami, along with his chains and everything like that, went to the bank of the river and he jumped in and committed suicide. He gave the jailer a way out so the jailer wouldn't get in trouble. So then he escaped from prison and he journeyed by foot to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, that was the only way to journey at that particular point. And he had one servant with him. His servant's name was Ishan. And Ishan had been holding on to 8 gold coins. And so there's a problem when you have a lot of money or any money. In India, you can get killed for that money. Actually, even today, it's like that. And I can tell so many stories of things that happened to devotees. So anyway, so on the way to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was in Varanasi, Benares, he had to cross over some mountains. And so there was a hotel right before crossing over the mountains. And there was a hotel keeper. And the hotel keeper had an expert astrologer palmist there who could tell the hotel keeper what his guests had as far as their money. That's pretty good, isn't it? So the expert astrologer, palmist, whatever, said to the hotel keeper, I guess the manager of the hotel, anyway, I'm not going to make a joke out of this. So the manager of the hotel, he said to him, this person has 8 gold coins. And so the hotel keeper became very, very nice to Sanatan Goswami. He said, my dear sir, whatever you want will help you. And Sanatan Goswami understood the principle that Prabhupada gave us, saying, too much devotion is the sign of a thief. And you find that sometimes if you go into a car dealership, the car dealer will actually show so much devotion for you. I had that happen to me several times when I was buying cars. The car dealer would say, oh, Mr. Swami, it's good to see you. I'm the Swami family. And I said, there's no Swami family. Oh, sorry. And how are you doing? And he remembers all the details of your life. Oh, how's the chanting of Hare Krishna? I really like your movement. And so that standard means that someone's trying to cheat you. So Sanatan Goswami understood this, And he went to his servant Ishan, and he said, "Do you have anything of value?" And Ishan said, "I have 7 gold coins." Actually, there were 8 gold coins. And Sanatana Goswami said, "Give them to me." And he gave them to the hotel keeper. And the hotel keeper said, "Good you gave us the money, because you would have been dead otherwise." But then he felt so grateful, he helped Sanatana Goswami over the mountain. And Sanatana Goswami understood that Ishan had this money. He sent Ishan away. So then Sanatana Goswami gradually arrived in Benares, Varanasi. And by that time, he had a big beard and everything like that. And he looked like he was a Muslim. Actually looked like it. So he knocked on the door of this great devotee's house in Varanasi, Chandrasekhar. And Lord Chaitanya was there at the same time. Knock, knock, knock. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Go to the door. There's a great Vaishnava at the door." And so Chandrasekhar goes to the door and he sees this Muslim mendicant, who he thinks is a Muslim mendicant. He says, goes back to Lord Chaitanya, and he says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "There's no great devotee at the door there. There's only a Muslim mendicant." Mendicant. And then Lord Chaitanya sent him back, invited the Muslim mendicant inside, who is not the Goswami, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, and he revealed to Chandrasekhar that this was Sanatana Goswami. He personally cleansed Sanatana Goswami's body, embraced him with it, all this with his own hands. And Sanatana Goswami would say at this point, "Oh, my Lord, please do not touch me." But Lord Chaitanya is showing the utmost in humility. He just performed this personal service for his devotee. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated here, quoting the Bhagavatam, "I am touching you just to purify myself, because by the force of your devotional service, you can purify the whole universe." Wow. So that's God saying that. "Saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of their purity, they are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage." This is also in the Majjalila, in the 20th chapter of the Majjalila. So in Benares, Sanatana Goswami continued to show Vaishnava qualities of humility and servitude while taking instruction from Lord Chaitanya in devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya instructed him to write books on Krishna Bhakti and to join his brothers Rupa and Anupama in Vrindavan when Lord Chaitanya would return to Neelachal. Something else very interesting happened while Sanatana Goswami was there. Sanatana Goswami, as he had in his journey to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had acquired from his brother-in-law, Srikanta, a very beautiful chador. And he was wearing that chador, you know, very beautiful, I guess, silk with, you know, decorations and everything like that. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept looking at the chador. Now, generally, if someone's looking at something you have, they probably want it. I remember there's stories of devotees looking at Prabhupada's watch, you know, they wanted Prabhupada's watch, and they gave him another watch anyway. So, or Prabhupada's shoes. Generally, if you keep looking, you know, looking at the computer or something like that, or the camera, you want that. So, anyway, so what happened is that Sanatana Goswami understood that Lord Chaitanya didn't want his chador. That Lord Chaitanya considered it inappropriate for a sannyasi to be dressed like a dapper gentleman. So Sanatana Goswami understood this, went to the bank of the Ganges, found a very poor man, like a mendicant, who had like a patchwork quilt. Patchwork means it has so many holes in it, and you just got to keep sewing the different parts together. And he said, "I'll exchange my nice chador for your patchwork quilt." And the guy said, "Are you joking?" And Sanatana Goswami said, "No, I'm not joking." And so he exchanged. He had this patchwork quilt instead of his chador. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very pleased with him. He said something like, if one has leprosy, if there's one spot remaining, that's very, you know, that's not a cure for leprosy. So you got to get rid of all of it, like cancer or something like that. So if a sannyasi, you know, it's also true that like a sannyasi is like a
considered like a white sheet. If there's one spot on it, then people will see the spot rather than the whiteness of the sheet. So one has to be very careful in the renounced order of life. So that's the Chatur story. So also Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami to travel throughout Braja and to establish the Leela Stanas of Sri Sri Radha Madhava. And so eventually when he did go to Braja, he would not stay in one place more than one night, and he traveled through there spending all of his time, and Rupa Goswami is the same thing, discussing Krishna's pastimes and chanting Krishna's holy names. And he actually took the order of Madhukari. Madhukari means like a bumblebee going from one, honeybee going from one flower to another, just taking a little bit of prasadam in each person's house. Not a lot of prasadam in any one person's house. So later on, there's so many interesting stories about Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami went to Jagannath Puri to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for some time, and on the way to Jagannath Puri, he contracted this skin disease like eczema or something like that. And he had many sores that were oozing pus all over his body. So by the time he got to Jagannath Puri, he was just like really sick. I guess he looked really sick because all the pores over, all the sores on his body were oozing pus. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw Sanatana Goswami, embraced Sanatana Goswami in spite of all these sores all over his body, and the pus would get on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. And Sanatana Goswami felt so bad about that, he decided to commit suicide. He said, I'm a great offender. I'm here in the Holy Nam, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being offended. So he decided, next time it's Rath Yatra, what? Go under the cart and get out of here. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding this, said to Sanatana Goswami, if I thought I could get Krishna's favor and go back to Godhead by committing suicide, I'd be prepared to give up my body, what, thousands or millions of times. So he didn't do it. And then later on, Sanatana Goswami was tested by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked to see Sanatana Goswami in the middle of the summer when it's like centigrade, really hot. Fahrenheit, you know, 120, 130 degrees, which is just about right now. It's a really hot time in Braj. And what to speak of Jagannath Puri, where it's not only hot, it's humid, and the sand is like an oven. So Lord Chaitanya called for Sanatana Goswami to see him, and Lord Chaitanya was on the other side of the temple, and there were only two ways to go to see Lord Chaitanya. One was by the temple, or by the main doors of the temple, and Sanatana Goswami didn't want to do that because he had all these sores on his body, and he thought, I would contaminate the pujaris who were coming into the temple. So instead, he went through the other way, through the beach, and he got blisters all over his feet, and they were burnt. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, which way have you come? And Sanatana Goswami said, I came by the beach way. And Lord Chaitanya said, why did you come by the nice way? And Sanatana Goswami said, I would have been very offensive towards the pujaris, you know, they're coming and going like that. And then Lord Chaitanya, being very pleased with Sanatana Goswami, embraced him again. And Sanatana Goswami was really upset about this. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed several different things. He says, first is a sannyasi who's supposed to be equipoised. I should not see the difference between, you know, a nice material body and a body that's oozing pus. You know, this should be a sannyasi's vision. I mean, you see the difference, but at the same time, you don't discriminate against someone like that. You're still just as much affectionate. I mean, we're generally affectionate to someone or to animals that look cute. But who is affectionate to a tarantula? I guess some people may be. But, you know, so that's sense gratification. So Lord Chaitanya said, as a sannyasi, I have to see things equally. And then Sanatana Goswami said, to basically, that's just external. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed. He said, actually, when I embrace your body, I am smelling chatushara. Yeah, very beautiful, like camphor and sandalwood and everything like that. Because Sanatana Goswami had a spiritual body. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that Sanatana Goswami, you and Rupa Goswami and others are like my children, you know. So a mother can embrace the children. So that was the ultimate point, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has so much love for his devotees. There was no question of feeling repelled or repulsed by anything going on with his devotees. Very wonderful story. So, anyway, there's another story. We're not going to have much time. Then Sanatana Goswami eventually goes to Braj. And while he's in Braj, he establishes the worship of Madan Mohan. And Madan Mohan has a very interesting story. The Madan Mohan deity has a very interesting story. Originally, he was discovered by a Dvaitacharya. And he was actually discovered by a Dvaitacharya. The reason he was buried was to keep him from being attacked and destroyed by the Muslims. So a Dvaitacharya was worshiping Madan Mohan, and then Madan Mohan revealed to Dvaitacharya that he should actually be put in the care of this Chobi Brahmin family in Mathura, because the Muslims at that time were attacking Braj, and they wanted to smash the deities in so many different ways. And actually they did horrible things, smashing the deities, and not only that, but they put the pieces of the deities in the road so that people would step on the pieces. So, therefore, he was put in the care of a Chobi Brahmin family in Mathura, and this family actually treated him like their son. In other words, they sat him at the dinner table, didn't put him on the altar. Can you imagine, you know, if I took my Sheilas or whatever, put them on my table and let them, you know, as I was eating, you know, eat with them or something like that. That's exactly what was happening. And the little kids were playing with the deity, you know, marbles and things like that. And so one day, Sanatana Goswami saw that, and he went to the Brahmin's house, he saw that, and he said, this is not the proper way to worship the deities. Put the deities on the altar. And they said, yes, Sadhuji. And they did it. That night, Sanatana Goswami had a dream, and the deity said to him, Krishna said to him, Madan Gopal was the name of the deity at that particular point, you've spoiled all my fun. Now you have to take care of me. And so Sanatana Goswami didn't accept it at that point. But later on, this Brahmin family, the Brahmin, Chobi Brahmin, he had a dream, and the deity ordered him to take him to Sanatana Goswami. But before that, something else happened, which is really interesting. Once upon a time, Sanatana Goswami, before he was given the deity, was out just walking around Braj and chanting Hare Krishna, and there was a little boy who came up to him and said to him, Baba, I want to go with you. And that was actually Krishna. And Sanatana Goswami replied, why do you want to go with me? The boy said, I want to stay where you live. And Sanatana Goswami said, if you stay with me, then what will you eat? And the boy said, Baba, whatever you eat. And Sanatana Goswami said, I only eat some dried chapatis and chickpeas. And then the boy said, that is all that I will eat too. No, that will not be enough for you, Sanatana Goswami said. You should stay with your mother and father. No, Baba, nah, I want to stay with you. So he patiently explained to the boy. This boy was actually Krishna. And the boy revealed to him in another dream, before he was left outside of, Madan Gopal was left outside of Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir on Dwadasadicha Tila, the hill. I don't have time to describe what that means. He had another dream. He said, Baba, I'm coming tomorrow to stay with you. My name is Madan Gopal. And Sanatana Goswami woke up and he thought, such a beautiful boy. And he opened the door of his Kutir and he found the deity there. And he began to worship the deity. However, while he was worshiping the deity, all he could offer were dried chapatis and, you know, just like chickpeas. And the deity complained about it. You know, Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan complained. He said, what are you doing? Can I have some salt at least? And Sanatana Goswami said, you know, I have all this service to do for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So just, if you want salt, you arrange it yourself. And so the deity actually arranged salt, because once upon a time, there was a little drought, so the Jamuna River was quite low and there were a lot of sandbars, and there was a salt barge on the way to Mathura, and that salt barge got stuck. And the captain of the boat, or the owner, was named Kapoor. He saw Sanatana Goswami sitting on this hill, which is Dwadasadicha Hill, which overlooks the Jamuna. And he went up there and he said, Saduji, can you do something for me? And Sanatana Goswami said, look, there's Madan Mohan. Talk to him. Maybe he'll help you. So he went there and he prayed to Madan Mohan, please free my boat. And if you free my boat, I'll give all the profits to build a temple. So there was all of a sudden a storm, a lot of rain, the water rose, the boat was freed, and the profits were given to build the temple of Madan Mohan. It's a wonderful story. So many other stories there that once upon a time he came to Radhakund and he saw Rupa Goswami was writing this literature, and Rupa Goswami was writing comparing Radharani's braid to be like a snake, you know, looking like a snake on the back of her head. So he sort of said to Rupa Goswami, this is not appropriate to compare Radharani's hair to a snake. And so the next day he was seeing a group of young girls and boys at the other end of Radhakund. They were laughing and laughing and laughing. And then he saw there was a young girl, and it appeared that there was a snake crawling up on her hair, you know, on her head. And he ran up, and he said, Oh, young girl, there's a snake on your head. And as he got closer, he saw it was hair. And the young girl was actually Radharani, and they all ran away and laughed at him. And, shoo. Another time is that Sanatana Goswami, just another story. Sanatana Goswami, in his old age, was having trouble executing his daily vow of offering 1,008 obeisances to Govardhan and circumambulating Govardhan Hill. Krishna understood this was not easy for a 65-year-old body. I'm 71. And he came to him and he said, Baba, you've become old now, so I think it's not necessary for you to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. And Sanatana Goswami replied, no, Lala, is my regular vow. And Krishna said, you can renounce this vow in your old age. No, Lala, you should never renounce vows. Baba, I have a very good idea for you. Accept it. Is acceptable? Surely I'll accept it. And Krishna presented him with a Govardhan Shila with his footprint on it. And every day he would circumambulate Govardhan Hill in that particular way. As far as his literary contribution, actually it's time to end. There's four main literatures, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is the foundational book of all the other Goswami's literatures, which we have published in ISKCON, Hari Bhakti Vilas, which actually is a joint work between Sanatana Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Krishna Lila Stava, which is glorification of the pastimes of Krishna. Wow. I'd like to do a recitation of that one, Champaga. So, and the Brihad Vaishnavatoshini, which is his commentary, extensive commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So today is Sanatana Goswami's disappearance. Actually, there's many other stories. His ontological position, his Rati Manjari, or sometimes Lavanga Manjari. So all these Goswamis, they were great devotees of Srimati Radharani, as are all Vaishnavas in our Sampradaya. So, on that happy note, all glories.